welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vapidez.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Episode number 49, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio is live, is on the air. We are here, just like always, at the Jersey Shore, kicking it off tonight. Big news in the wrestling business, as always, a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about a lot tonight. We're actually going to talk about the news, with a big Z at the end. We're going to have a little portion of the show where we discuss the current rumors and topics in wrestling, what we believe, what we don't believe, stuff like that. We're expecting this guy, Scott Campbell, who was the winner of a WrestleMania auction. He appeared on Raw with tons of funk. We're expecting him to call in. Whether he's going to or not, I really don't care, to tell you the truth. I don't think anybody else does either. He hit me up, wanted to call in, get on the show, and discuss his experience in Monday Night Raw. And I said, yeah, go ahead. You know, I'm a free-flowing type guy. I'm totally cool with that. So maybe he'll call in, maybe he won't. Either way, we're going to have a great show tonight. We're also going to update you on our Pro Wrestling Powerhouse All-Stars Fantasy League, which I am currently kicking major ass in. And we're going to have a lot more. I'm also going to, you know what, we're going to talk about the WWE Divas as well. There's a lot of talk about the Divas with the Total Divas show with AJ Lee's promo last night, along with the knockouts in TNA. We're going to talk about women's wrestling in general a little bit. And it's a topic we've discussed in the past, but man, I've been seeing crazy talk on women's wrestling all over the internet. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. But before we talk about anything, please visit ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com is the website that keeps this show going. You want to go there, you want to read something intellectual, something great, something fun. Go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. There are all kinds of different opinions from wrestling fans throughout the world. Check out articles from Greg DeMarco, Zach Fellows, Duron Browning, Seth Guttenplan, myself, and others, Bill Shannon, all these guys, great article writers. Please go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Also, visit the PWP Amazon store. You can access our Amazon store at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Buy anything through our Amazon store. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's condoms or wrestling DVDs. Buy whatever you want through the Amazon store, and it gives us a small portion of your purchase. If you need anything directly, you should know how to contact me. You can contact me on Twitter, at PW Powerhouse. I will send you a direct link to whatever it is you want through our Amazon store. I'll send you the direct link to purchase, and we'll give you a public thank you right here live on the show, and we'll plug whatever it is you want. We appreciate all the support. Every penny, every dollar helps us pay the bills that blogtalkradio.com decides to give us every single month. Like I said, Twitter at PW Powerhouse, Facebook, facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Last week we had Lex Luger on the show in an interview that just blew up everywhere. I sent it to a whole bunch of websites, and then all these other websites copy and pasted it like they all do. And I'm grateful for that in this instance, because this is actually something that isn't just in speculation. It's not some kind of news bullshit. It's Lex Luger's interview, and we talked a lot with Lex last week. And if you want to listen to it, you can listen to it on demand right here on Blog Talk Radio. But let's get on with the show. I'd like to bring in my usual co-host. He is the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour. No, he is not Superstar Billy Graham. He is TLD.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion. Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay on TLD. Buy everything, Dennis. I'm TLD.
Yo, yo, TLD, what's up, man?
Not much, man. I'm just hanging out in my room, but I got some big news. That not only this is not only great for you in the future, but it's great for all couples, because it's officially now, I am now an ordained minister. I am not kidding. I can now perform marriages, funerals, baptisms. I could do it all. That means as of today, I am now known as Reverend TLD.
I didn't even know you went to church.
Dude, I'm a Catholic.
I am too, but I haven't taken it seriously since I've learned how to kind of make my own decisions in life.
Well, you know what, man? I thought, you know what? The world needs a new reverend of the world. And I figured, you know what? I signed up. I got my actual copy. I have the ordained copy. And I am allowed to perform marriages.
Now, let me ask you a question. How much do you get paid being a reverend?
Well, I can get paid as much as I want, as long as I will. I think that a fair price, not to mention that as popular as I am at TLD Wrestling, I would say at least a $500 fee would probably be perfect for your marriage rites.
Are you going to wear the TLD yellow when you do this kind of marriages and stuff?
Absolutely. Why wouldn't I wear that? I could wear whatever I want. I'm the reverend.
I love it. I love it. TLD, congratulations, man. That's
Thank
been
you so
very
much.
Difficult. To,
so if you're looking to get married, hit me up at TLD Wrestling, and I will marry your ass.
That's funny in so many ways.
Yes. Reverend TLD has spoken. Say your prayers.
Absolutely. So, man, we're here. It's just me and you right now. We're expecting John and maybe Tope to call in. It's going to be a fun show, man. Yeah, it's going to be a fun show.
I am excited, man. I got myself my Quick Check 49-cent refill, Mountain Dew. It's a Slurpee, but it's not really the same thing. Tara's got her Skittles, and we're just having a good night. It's an all-sugar night tonight.
Well, that's something that, you know, we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but since you brought up, like, sugary foods and stuff like that,
yeah.
I'm starting a brand new section of the website. I'm going to be debuting it very soon. It's going to be my little pet project to kind of get the creative juices flowing. I'm hitting kind of a writer's block rut when it comes to creative content, writing articles and whatnot. So I am starting prowrestlingpowerhouse.com/fitness, and it is going to be a pro wrestling fitness website. I'm going to get interviews with different pro wrestlers. I'm going to get their workout routines, their diet, stuff like that for the wrestling fans. If you're looking to get into shape in any way, shape, or form, think of it as a free fitness magazine on the internet. You can just go to prowrestlingpowerhouse.com/fitness, and you'll have all kinds of content eventually. It isn't up and running yet. It isn't even created yet, but it will be, and it will be great. I'm reaching out to all kinds of professional wrestlers at this moment to try to get some kind of insight. I already sent Gail Kim an email. I asked Dustin Rhodes, but I doubt he's gonna answer me because Dustin Rhodes doesn't answer anybody. But yeah, we're gonna try to get this show on the road. It's gonna be cool. I'm gonna enjoy doing
that. I like
that
idea.
So,
I think it's a pretty cool concept.
And I don't think anybody on there will be drinking Mountain Dew or eating Skittles, but hey, to each their own.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, that's why you go to the gym.
That's damn right. But TLD, man, there's a lot to talk about. A lot to talk about tonight. I'm sure if this jabroni Scott Campbell is going to call or not. He said he was going to.
Wow, I love
how
you like insult our guest that you possibly will have on the show.
He ain't listening, but if he is, not a big deal. Either way, we got some stuff to talk about, and we might as well jump right into some of the news with a big fat Z on the end. And there's been a lot of news, believe it or not, in professional wrestling over the past few days. And the biggest news of it all, I think, should be AJ Styles and his TNA contract expiring in September. And on his official Facebook page, they posed the question, where would you like to see AJ Styles go? Would you like to see him stay in TNA, go to WWE, New Japan, Ring of Honor? What would you like to see AJ Styles do? And this is something that we need to talk about. So TLD, man. AJ Styles, what do you think the future holds for the Phenomenal One?
You know, I mean, if he's going to throw his family into the situation where he wants to be able to support his family and, you know, be able to see his child or see his kids and his wife, he's going to stay with TNA. But if he's looking out for AJ Styles, if he's looking out for himself and that's the most important thing to him, and he doesn't have any other projects on the side that will affect him, then he should go to the WWE. I think it's more, a lot of times, if he's been comfortable the last few years, I would assume he's making enough money to support his family, you know. But the question that he needs to propose to himself is that, does he care more about hanging out with his family, having less dates, or does he want the AJ Styles character? Does he want to become a marketable name in professional wrestling? I think he left his mark in wrestling if he was to leave. AJ Styles will always be probably the TNA guy, no matter what happens. That's his decision he must make on his own. I love the rebirth of him this last year. I thought it was a great change for him. I think he is a marketable superstar in the WWE. I think WWE could use him as a valuable asset as long as they don't change anything about him. Because that, I'm sure, AJ Styles is a marketable name, and he could be selling T-shirts. He doesn't even need to go to FCW. He should be right on the WWE roster. He should never go down a step, you know, and I think that's what he needs to make a decision about, what he wants to do. And the question is WWE even interested in him?
That's a big question. That was something that was posed today on the internet. I know news broke that for some reason, I don't know where these guys get their sources. I would love to know exactly who these sources are. But
they don't put no credits on the bottom.
No, absolutely not. PW Insider is one of the big ones. And today it was, to add to this AJ Styles rumor, today it was announced by PWInsider.com that, quote, WWE has zero interest in any of the outgoing TNA talents right now. The feeling is that none of them bring anything to the table, that WWE can't develop themselves with their own talents in NXT before bringing to the main roster. Now, that, in a way, is true. I get that. They have about 75, 80 talents, I think, over there at NXT and developmental. Talents that we haven't even seen on the NXT program yet. There are so many people there training, and that's great for the future of the business. No question about it. A guy like AJ Styles, though, he's not necessarily a game changer, because if you look at TNA and their ratings and their marketability, he's not doing anything for the company. If he leaves tomorrow, and this is one thing that I've always said, man, if he leaves the show, the ratings will not move. They won't drastically go down. They won't drastically go up. They'll stay exactly the same. It'll stay the course. It won't affect the TNA show if AJ Styles leaves. However, if WWE is serious on not taking, you know, any TNA talents right now, if AJ Styles wants to go to WWE, I think his best plan of attack is to leave TNA, take some time off, maybe go work the Indies, work Ring of Honor, kind of get this total nonstop action stigma off him for a while, and then see if WWE is interested after that. Because in TNA, he has done everything there is to be done. There has to be done. He hasn't done anything else that needs to be done in his career. And if he could probably, at 36 years old, probably get a really nice 5-year deal from WWE, something like that, where he could be set for his entire life. And anybody that is scared for AJ Styles if he signs a WWE contract, don't be, because you same people were scared when CM Punk signed his and when Bryan Danielson signed his. And look what's happened to those two guys. They're the two top babyfaces in the company right now, aside from John Cena, who's obviously taking 4 to 6 months off. They're the two of the biggest stars in the whole entire damn company, and they are going to be millionaires for the rest of their lives. CM Punk's banging Lita. You know, Daniel Bryan's banging Brie Bella. Good for them. They're stars now. Don't think that AJ Styles can't just be up there with them.
Yeah, I mean, I think he can be one of those top guys. I think he has the athletic ability, just like a Daniel Bryan. Maybe a character would be good for him. But, you know, honestly, I don't think he's going to leave TNA. I think he's had a great, time there. I think, honestly, he wants to stay there. I don't think he wants to leave. You know, he has the possibility to fight Bully Ray for the championship. I think they're still going to go in that route. You know, as long as they can figure out his contract situations, you know, I think he's going to stick around. I don't see him leaving TNA. I think they're going to give him the money that he needs, because if they do lose him, I think that's a very big loss on their end. Like, to me, like, Sting is not a big loss because it helps save them money. But AJ Styles, to me, those casual fans will probably make the switch over to, you know, to WWE, you know, and to watch him if they really enjoy him. I think, you know, every time he goes out to the ring in TNA, he's always getting a reaction. He's the kind of guy that people just love to either like or hate. And he's, because people just, grown on him. He's grown on that TNA audience, and I think they need that established guy, you know, to, you know, he's the only established guy right from the beginning of that whole company that's been there. You know, I mean, it's hard to say, but I honestly think he's going to stick around. I don't think he's leaving TNA.
Yeah, it just depends on what TNA wants to do, because there's those rumors out there that, you know, they might not be able to afford him anymore. They might not be able to afford his contract. They might be wanting to move in a different direction. I personally don't think that's the case.
I cannot imagine that. I could never imagine that.
Yeah,
they would ever do that. You know, I mean, if they were smart enough right now, especially with all the wrong things they've been doing the last few weeks, that's you talk about a really bad idea, is to let that guy go. I just don't see a reason to let him go when they rebuilt his character for what eventually now became his comeback now. He's going to win this Bound for Glory series. I can't imagine it wasn't built for him, especially after the 1 year that he couldn't have the championship belt. You know, I just can't imagine it. I really can't. Because he would have to lose that match. He would have to
lose. Think Magnus might be a front runner as well. But yeah, AJ Styles, it seems like, especially since they just turned his character back into the Phenomenal One, I think he's probably the guy right now. Let's bring in one of the bigger AJ Styles fans I've ever talked to in my life, and he's a big TNA fan. He's Toph. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up? I fell asleep and didn't realize what day it was. Has that ever happened to you before?
Yeah, it happens to me all the time. That's what happens when you play video games for like 22 hours in a day.
Yeah. You got me there, so.
Absolutely. I just got Madden last night, dude. It was the only video game that I go for the release on, and there was like 300 people at the Brick store in Brick, New Jersey, and I was lucky because I bought it in Toms River at another location, and my line was only about 5 people long, whereas the Brick line was about 200 people, so I was extremely lucky there.
Yeah, that's a good deal right there, man.
Yeah, beat it. Toph, man, welcome to the show, brother, as always. And we're talking, I don't know if you just heard us, we're talking about AJ Styles and what the future holds for him. What are your thoughts on AJ Styles?
AJ works a lot of independent stuff on the side. He's really popular in Australia. I'm not sure if you guys knew that. They have a lot of indie stuff to do there during the summer. AJ will be fine. If he leaves TNA, he'll just work indies for the rest of his life. He's very content. I've talked to him before on several occasions. He wasn't really that fond of WWE back in the old days, in the early NWA, TNA days. Of course, his opinion may have changed, and, you know, when you have a family, you know, as they say, money talks, bullshit walks, but he's, you know, been the Phenomenal One for quite some time, and to go all this time without being in WWE, I don't see the point why he would all of a sudden go now. I think that if he was going to go, he would have gone already. I think he'll be fine. More than likely, he'll stay with TNA, and if he leaves TNA, he'll just work the independent scene, maybe even go back to Ring of Honor. So, but he'll be fine, though. I don't see him leaving TNA, though. It definitely seems like the Bound for Glory series was made for him. I always thought that Bully AJ was the end game from the start, you know, although now it's going to be the Phenomenal One instead of this weird tweener character who I enjoyed. You know, I'm not going to blame TNA for that. That was really more of what happens sometimes when, you know, real life circumstances happen to Kurt Angle. So, but I think AJ will be fine.
Yeah, well, I think so too. Either way, he's such a talented guy and stuff. But Toph, let me ask you this. If WWE was interested, if this was a deal where he does go more to the indies for a while, if he leaves TNA, does a little Ring of Honor stuff, and they really see he's got a lot left in the tank, you know, at 36 years old. And he is, without a doubt, one of the most, I'd say, unique wrestlers that has ever existed in the game of professional wrestling. And they were to say, hey, we want to bring this guy in for a run. And wouldn't you think that would be smart for AJ Styles to get that one big run and kind of maybe, you know, set his family for life with getting a few big paychecks from WWE?
He's very similar to Sting. He's very, very, very biased to his family. He's very loyal. He cares about his family a lot. You know, he even has those tattoos on his chest for each kid that he has. He's extremely, extremely loyal to his family, just like Sting. So it would have to be a lot of money for him to even consider him going to WWE. If his family is willing to relocate to the WWE headquarters, then I could see it being a possibility. Because of his name and the popularity of AJ Lee, even though AJ Styles came first, I don't believe they would give him the AJ name unless, you know, someone tried to pull some strings for him. You know, speaking of which, I've been hearing this for many years now, and I've tried to research it. I don't know where this came from. I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but for many years now, I've heard that CM Punk and AJ Styles have heat. I don't know where this came from, but I've been hearing it for a long time. Have you guys heard of that before?
I know that they worked together in Ring of Honor years ago. As far as heat is concerned, I don't – you know what, though, Toph? I kind of want to say that I've heard that story before, but I can't really put my finger on what it was and why it was. I have a feeling that CM Punk was probably shooting off his mouth at some point because that's usually – what he does, especially back in those Ring of Honor days. You could ask anybody who was around him then. He was more of like a loudmouth back then than he is today. So he,
I don't know where it came from. I know it's similar to the, this is going to sound kind of weird. I know it's similar to the Radical angle. Like, you know, like the true story was, it was Dean Malenko, Barrett Guerrero, Benoit, and Saturn. And of course the fifth guy was Shane Douglas, and they negotiated and they were planning on jumping ship from WCW to WWF, but by the time the transaction happened, you know, it was just four. I've always heard the story that apparently many years ago, like in the early 2000s, you know, shortly after the demise of WCW and ECW, that CM Punk and three other guys, I'm assuming AJ Styles is one, and just based off the popularity of the indie scene at the time, I'm going to assume the other two were Samoa Joe and Daniels, but the story that I've heard is that Punk was basically close friends of those three, and they made a pact or an agreement of some kind that basically they were going to kind of ride off the indie scene, you know, really make it popular, really take Ring of Honor to the next level, which they did, and basically once they got what they wanted, they would all collectively leave and go to, you know, where the bigger money was. Of course, CM Punk would do that, and many other Ring of Honor fans would as well. I mean, wrestlers would. But, you know, Daniels, he stayed with TNA, and AJ had the option and the opportunity as the Kazarian, but they chose not to. So, I don't know. That could be where the heat comes from. But I don't want to get off topic. But to answer your question, I could see AJ going to WWE, but only if his family is willing to relocate. He is very, very religious, very, very he's very loyal to his family. He's just like Sting, basically. Just like how Sting never jumped ship back in the day, I don't see AJ doing it unless some type of significant change happens in his family. He's a family man, no pun intended.
Well, that's the thing. Is in WWE, you don't have to live in Stamford, Connecticut to be in WWE, man. You're on the road and stuff like that. I mean, Rob Van Dam didn't move. He still lives in California. And there's no question about it that AJ Styles is, you know, in my opinion, if he were to go to WWE, they would probably, and I hate to say this, but they would probably put him on NXT. I wouldn't doubt it, unless they came up with some kind of, like, cool intro gimmick for him, because there's no way he'd be AJ Styles. You can't really talk about his TNA past because you don't own the video library, and it's if you did own that video library, then it would be easy to bring him over. But it would be tough for WWE to bring a guy like him over, and any other current solidified TNA talent for that matter. Even Bobby Roode, you know, you wonder why when Bobby Roode, that thing with his contract recently happened, and we don't know if WWE reached out to him or not, or if he reached out to WWE. We just don't know that for a fact. And if they did have interest and Bobby Roode said no, good for him. But I, for some reason, just doubt it. And that leads me to believe that this news with a big Z at the end, that WWE isn't really interested in TNA talents, I think that is probably true in many aspects. But I guess that remains to be seen. We'll see what happens.
Except for Sting.
Well, yeah, but Sting, you know, that's another thing, man, that, you know, they reached out to him years ago, and I think that would be only because he's a legend in wrestling, whereas these other guys, you know, they're not necessarily legends. They're kind of like, you know, they, and plus, WWE owns Sting's entire library from WCW. So that's got a lot to do with it, I'm sure.
I'm more – this is kind of minimal in the grand scheme, but if AJ did jump ship, actually the most interesting thing I would like to see is his moveset. I can't see him doing all those crazy moves he does in WWE, like, you know, the Pele kick, the Styles Clash. They would probably just send him to NXT just to revamp his entire moveset. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
I think he would do them because if you look at a guy like Bryan Danielson, yeah, if you look at Bryan Danielson and CM Punk, they kept their moves. They didn't change anything about their moves, really. I mean, they got rid of CM Punk's top rope pedigree, but of course you're going to get rid of that. That was ridiculous, dangerous, and Triple H is the pedigree guy. You know, you're not going to do a top rope freaking pedigree. But but Bryan Danielson kept all his moves. They just gave him a new finish, and the LaBelle Lock is quite honestly better than the Cattle Mutilation. The Cattle Mutilation was always a cool finisher because the guy who was trapped in it was pretty much helpless. Like, there's almost no getting to the ropes, and he's used it a couple times in WWE, but the LaBelle Lock is just so much cooler, man. It just looks better. You get to see the facial expressions where, you know, the I don't know if you've seen the Cattle Mutilation, Toph or Will, but that's similar to what Austin Aries does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's similar to what Austin Aries does with Flash Chancery. And WWE's big on, like, facial expressions and stuff like that. And the Styles Clash, let me tell you what, that would be a move that I think would work because no WWE talent does that except Michelle McCool used to do it. Well, she was a diva. Nobody cares about the divas, you know? So,
that was wrong. That's wrong.
Did the Angel's Wing, too.
Yeah, that's another one, exactly. So we'll just have to see what happens with AJ Styles. I think it's safe to say that when Mr. Anderson's contract runs out, they will not be bringing him back.
I don't think he's going back.
Yeah. Very unfortunate. Nice guy, though. Very humble in real life, surprisingly. But, yeah.
You know what? I had one run-in with Mr. Anderson, and I had a WWE encyclopedia at a TNA show, and I was asking him to sign it, and I had to bother him, like, time after time to sign it, and he wouldn't sign it. I tracked him down 5 times.
Really?
At a TNA house show, and he would not. He refused to sign it.
Wow. Maybe he was having a bad day. Sorry,
dude.
I bought it.
I was there. I was a VIP there. What happens at these house shows for TNA? If you have a VIP ticket, you get to go in before the show starts, and you can line up around the barricade, and the wrestlers come out and they sign autographs and shit. So I got like Mickey James, Brian Kendrick, Austin Aries. I passed on like Gunner and guys like that. But even Mickey James was tough. I had to track her down. And on, like, my third attempt, she finally signed it. But Mr. Anderson would not, I repeat, would not sign my book.
Well, you know, I had a run-in with him, too. He was actually in our area at Brick, New Jersey, and it was just when he got signed to TNA. So it was and it was crowded. So many people went to see him. I got in the ring. I actually took a photo with him. He did sign my Intercontinental title. But I heard that, you know, I heard not only were you having a problem with that, but I've heard other people that have said that he wouldn't sign WWE merchandise. He's very adamant about not being a part of WWE anymore, which is a shame because his character was so over in the WWE, and I really loved the character of Mr. Kennedy, you know. And every time I go by, every time I see, like, a Kennedy sign, I always go out and say, Kennedy!
Hey, you know what, Jay? Maybe on a future episode, we should, like, dedicate an entire show to, like, you know, real-life interactions with, you know, wrestlers that we met at different shows.
Oh, man, I have so many of them. But, yeah, we could do that for sure. This train is not stopping anytime soon. So, there's all kinds of stuff we could do here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. And if you want to call the show and say whatever the hell you want, please give us a call, 760-888-5749. Hey, I tweeted New Jack before. I sent New Jack a tweet. I said, hey, New Jack, you want to call in tonight on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio? I gave him the number, and he said, maybe. So who knows? We might have New Jack at some point if he's bored enough to call on the show tonight. That would be funny. But let's continue with a little more news with a big fat Z on the end.
With a Z.
With a Z, because I take all this stuff with a grain of salt. Now, let's see here. I'm scrolling through a dirt sheet as we speak. A dirt sheet website.
Well, while you're doing that, make sure that if you are not on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, that you go to TLDWrestling.com and make sure you request me for your next wedding. Toph, if you don't know this, Toph, I actually am now a reverend. I'm now an ordained minister.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then I think your new theme should be Reverend Devon's theme. Hey, that theme was awesome. He beat Triple H of that gimmick.
That's right. I remember that. That was cool. That was pretty damn cool. Here's some more news, okay? So, as reported earlier, with a big Z on the end, as reported earlier on Twitter, and now this isn't really news. This is true stuff because Eric Bischoff denied the reports of Hulk Hogan signing a deal with 2K Sports. And let me quote Eric Bischoff because I personally love Eric Bischoff. I think he's awesome. I'm not a stout Republican like he is. He's always trashing Obama and everything in America, but that doesn't really affect my judgment on his wrestling acumen. So Here's his quote from Twitter today, and I quote, "Interesting to read the choir of idiots suggesting that Hulk did a deal with 2K Sports. Illustrates just how ignorant these experts are and how these experts are attempting to frame a narrative to sell their bullshit. There is no Hulk Hogan slash 2K Sports deal. WWE is simply utilizing trademarks slash assets they currently own in a repackaged video game. Nothing new. But that's not what the parasites and morons who run Dirt Sheets want you to know." End quote. Thank you, Eric Bischoff. You are the fucking man for saying that and clearing up that bullshit. Because that, to me, that ends that whole conversation. The news was going around that Hogan has heat in TNA, and the locker room was mad at him, and that's why they took him off the show, yada, yada, yada. Hey, bullshit. Hulk Hogan is one of the biggest – he is the biggest wrestling star of all time. WWE
isn't
using anything new. He's not using anything new. They're not using anything new from Hulk Hogan. They are utilizing what they already own. They own all those images and likenesses from his career, from WrestleMania 3 all the way – whatever, the entire time he was there. They could use any of that shit in a video game, and that's what they were doing, so good for them. So what do you guys think about Eric Bischoff shooting down this report, Will?
Well, first off, I would say that Eric Bischoff, you know, one of Hogan's closest friends who probably knows everything that Hulk Hogan does as far as a deal goes when he makes these deals, you know, it's a wrestling video game. You know, it's not like he's appearing on WWE television. So, I mean, they could probably use the rights of Hulk Hogan if they really wanted to. Everything is, you know, they can use his likeness, you know, which is really what they're doing. He's not going into Stamford, Connecticut and meeting Vince McMahon, you know. They're using it for a video game. It's just another way to sell the video game so people buy it. You know, why not? I mean, that's what WWE does. They have every single person on the planet except Sting that they could basically put in a video game if they really wanted to. So, let them do what they want. You know, I don't think he has heat. I think it's weird that he's doing that also, because now when you think of Hulk Hogan, you're like, oh, you know, Hulk Hogan, yeah, you know, he's a WWE guy. You know, meanwhile, he's in TNA and no one even knows about it. So I think it's good on one end, but, you know, it's good to sell the video game. But I honestly think also it's kind of stupid that they're just cool with it. You know, you don't see Sting going over to WWE saying, oh, yeah, use my likeness and sell a video game. You know, you don't see that. So, thank you.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. If WWE wanted to, they could probably produce all the Sting stuff they wanted. They could produce DVDs. They could produce Blu-rays. They could even, if they wanted to do a WCW, you know, 1995 video game, they can put Sting in that if they wanted to. And that's because they own all that stuff, all that video footage. They could use that however they want. But they're not going to do that because he hasn't really – I think they respect him a lot. I think a guy like Triple H, probably Vince McMahon too, respect the living hell out of Sting, which is awesome. So, yeah, so that's pretty damn cool. Toph, what are your thoughts on this rumor being shot down by Eric Bischoff himself?
You know, it's just Bischoff being Bischoff, you know, always correcting folks and sticking to the facts. And that's really all I got to say. I don't really play wrestling video games, but, you know, props to Mr. Bischoff for you know, correcting the fans, and props to Mr. Bischoff for, you know, staying off TV and for recognizing that, you know, his days are over and not hogging up TV time like other COOs do. So thank you, Mr. Bischoff.
Well, Eric Bischoff's not a COO. Eric Bischoff is just a creative writer, but I... Yeah, there's no really comparison with WWE and TNA. But hold on, we got a phone call right now. I'm not sure if this is who we're expecting to call in, Scotty Campbell. Not sure if this is you on hold, but 423 area code. You're on the OCWC radio.
Hey, guys. It is me. It's Scotty. Sorry for the delay. I had trouble getting through. I had a digit wrong.
Oh,
it's not good when your digit's messed up.
No problem, brother. Thanks for joining us here on the show. Hey, listeners, Scotty Campbell was on Monday Night Raw, came out with tons of funk. just a few months ago. And you're the winner of a WrestleMania auction, correct?
Yes, it was a Superstars for Sandy Relief, the Hurricane auction for the New York, New Jersey area. And the date of the Raw appearance was June 24th.
Tell us a little bit about that experience, being backstage at Monday Night Raw, man. It must have been a dream come true, huh?
It was a whole lot of fun and something that I didn't think would really happen, but twofold. Number one, it was nice to be able to help with hurricane relief, and number two, as a lifelong fan, it was a great opportunity to be able to be there and have that experience. They had me show up at the venue about 3 o'clock that afternoon, several hours before showtime, so I got to interact with a number of stars, and let me tell you, as you well know, a lot of those guys, they're on their A-game, and a lot of good personalities, one or two not so great, but I think that's with any company in the world. But all in all, had a whole lot of fun. We did one rehearsal there, and a bit intimidating, but I worked my way right through it. Almost the entire roster was in the arena watching me as I did my rehearsal with Tons of Funk the first time, and Road Dogg had a really good laugh at that, and started clapping and said, give that guy a contract. But certainly I'm no dancer, but we did end up having as much fun as we possibly could with it.
Yeah, you looked happy and ecstatic during it. I remember it pretty well. Tell us about the personalities that you said weren't so pleasant backstage. Who were those personalities?
Well, most people backstage were really, they seemed to be happy, seemed to be in their element. But Del Rio just did not seem, I don't know, maybe he just stays in character all the time. But I saw a whole lot of a straight face there, and he didn't seem to be having conversations with anyone, but to each their own, I guess. But other than that, I had some great discussions. Mark Henry sat down at the table and talked a long time, and I interacted with John Cena a couple of times, and Sheamus. Several people were congratulating me on my effort and my appearance there. So they were happy to be entertained by someone else for a moment, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really cool. I don't know if you know this, but I'm actually from the Jersey Shore, man. I lived, and Will also, we lived through Hurricane Sandy, man. We were here during that entire process, and it's still actually affecting me to this day because it affected my working situation, whether I was going to get recalled to my job or not, and I did not. And I've been helping out a couple in the recovery process. They completely lost their house on the Jersey Shore, and they're just now starting to get moved back in. They're an older couple, senior citizens and stuff, so I've been helping them out in a big capacity. So that's
well,
pretty
thank
awesome.
Thank you for what you're doing there, and it's unfortunate, number one, that the storm happened, and number two, the way the overall economy has gotten. But I was in Atlantic City a few years ago and had a really good time, and I understand that that coast there on the Jersey Shore had a really tough time. Saw some of the footage on television, as I recall, some months ago. I'm glad the WWE stepped up and did the Superstars for Sandy Relief auction. That's the first time I think they've done several charity-type things over the years, but I've never seen one myself quite of that magnitude and type.
So you were up here for WrestleMania, right?
Actually, no, I was not this year. I bid through charitybuzz.com, and that's how I found out about the auction itself. I believe they had some live bidding and live auction going on WrestleMania week, but I was not at WrestleMania this year. I've been to two, one in Detroit and one in Orlando.
That's awesome. But if you don't mind me asking.
Yeah, exactly. He said, wherever they book me, yeah, let's go to New Orleans WrestleMania 30. I think I need to be opposite Paul Heyman.
If you don't mind me asking, Scotty, how much was the auction, the donation? How much was that?
Well, I would love to disclose that, but I'm not going to be able to, unfortunately. But let me just say, I'll leave it at this. I'm glad I could help. I personally wasn't willing to go a whole lot higher, but I'll just say that the website closes the auction out, and basically they say it had a value of $10,000, but I'll just simply say it was not. It was nowhere near that much.
Okay.
But again, I'm glad I was able to do it, and I know they had a combination of auctions, and the entire event raised approximately $500,000, $500,000.
That's phenomenal.
So,
that's great. I'm going to take it to...
One, Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to kick it to my co-host. They might have a couple questions for you real quick. Will, you got any questions for Scotty tonight?
Yeah, I do. You know, we like Jay said, we got pretty affected up here. You know, it's one thing to see it on TV, but when you see it live and in person, when me and Jay went to the shore one time to celebrate St. Patrick's Day and kind of relax out there and not be able to walk the boardwalk and seeing the roller coaster, it hits you. You know, it affected a lot of people down here. You know, especially I was out of work for a whole week, you know, and obviously Jay lost, you know, everything down there, which I feel bad for. So we do appreciate that big donation that you did, and you deserve that moment, which is pretty cool that you could put that much money into, you know, helping the WWE, first off, doing it, but two, you bidding and giving that money to us, helping us out around here. It does mean a lot to everyone down here, so we do appreciate that a lot.
Well, thank you very much, Will, and I know the people of the Jersey area definitely have bonded together and banded together, and I understand improvements are underway, and the governor's doing his part, so I'm glad to hear all that. I love to see places rebuild. I'm an EMT and no stranger to emergency and disaster type situations, so, you know, I know what goes on there, and as a former politician, I don't know if you guys know this, but I am an actual former member of the Tennessee House of Representatives. I chose to not seek re-election in 2012, and had I sought re-election and won, I probably would not have appeared on Raw Dancing.
Were you allowed to go with somebody else on that? Were you allowed to go with somebody else in backstage?
Okay, I was... If your question is, was I allowed to appear with someone else? No, this specific option was to dance with Tons of Funk. But in terms of interaction backstage, I had almost unlimited access to the WWE superstars and production people, and talked to almost everybody there throughout the course of the evening, and sat at a table in catering with Jerry the King Lawler, Mark Henry, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, The Miz. Several others were in the room, but that was the group primarily at my table. Hornswoggle came over, and we had a good laugh. He was a lot of fun, too. And let me tell you guys a little backstage insight that amazed me, and Will and Jay, you guys may know this, but I was really shocked. While I was back in the catering area, once the Superstars taping started, and then Raw started as well, almost the entire roster was in catering, watching television intently as if they were perhaps in a church service or something of that nature. They were very quiet and no cell phones out, no Twitter, no texting, none of that stuff going on. They were focused on the product, and quite frankly, that impressed me a whole lot to see their commitment to their coworkers.
Absolutely. It's commitment, it's discipline, it's dedication. It's probably the veterans showing the rookies and the people from developmental how to act in those situations as well. And that's really cool. That actually gives me a little more of an insight. Yo, were they filming Total Divas during this experience?
They were filming Total Divas, and I don't know if the footage will make the show, but I actually was interviewed for a segment on the show. And, of course, naturally, I hope they use that footage. It was a fun moment, but... perhaps not dramatic enough to make the final cut, but we'll see over the coming weeks. I wish I could get an advance notification of when that'll be on, but
maybe it'll
be on
the
show
is
at 10 o'clock on Sundays on E, so maybe we can catch it one of these nights coming up.
It could be an extra on the DVD, who knows? But here's a question. How hot are Cameron and Naomi in person? They got to be smoking, huh?
Very much so. And the personalities that you've seen on Total Divas are essentially what you see backstage. Naomi is more of the, don't know how to put this. They're both nice people. you guys have seen Cameron be a little over the top on television. And I think that's a part of who she really is, and there's no problem with that. We had a great time. We got along great, and Naomi as well. When we were backstage, Sweet Tea Brothers, myself, and the Funkadactyls, there was a discussion about maybe doing a little more practice and a little more choreography on hour routine for that night. But I basically told them, you guys are the pros, I'm not, let's just go see what happens. So my commitment to them was that I would not mess up and that I would have as much fun as I possibly could and project happiness to the viewing audience, because in reality, I'm more of an Al Gore type figure in terms of, a statue.
Hey, man, did you get a chance to talk to Vince?
Yes, that's actually the second time that I've spent time around Vince. I respect the man tremendously. Some more backstage insight for you in the gorilla area, which, by the way, being in that room was a dream come true. Scott Armstrong was in there, Billy Kidman, Triple H, and Mr. Vince McMahon. Vince and Triple H were sitting side by side looking at the monitors and very much in tune with what was going on television. There's a big mirror in Gorilla where you can kind of get a final glimpse at yourself to make sure that you're ready to go out through the curtains. I saw a couple of props. For example, there was a bucket that night, I believe, relevant to Ricardo Rodriguez, and a white hat. I just remember those being in the Gorilla position. But Vince is very much in tune with the product still. Pre-show, Triple H had a hand in my appearance. We met on the ramp before the fans came into the arena, and Triple H, I witnessed my rehearsal, and I'd been told to report guys in street dress clothes, and Triple H said, we've got to get you an outfit. Hey, guys, get Scotty an outfit. So what you saw on television was purchased and made within hours of the performance.
That's cool.
And I use that word loosely.
That's awesome. Absolutely.
And they let me keep the tracksuit. So, you know, who knows? You never know. One of these guys might be a manager one of these days, right? Stranger things have happened.
So is that what you're saying? Are you planning on pursuing a career in the wrestling business at this point?
I have reached out in almost every manner that I know how to the WWE, and I'm willing to talk to other promoters throughout the country. I think it's time. I've waited long enough. 29 years old. I've ordered some additional gear for perhaps more of a heel persona. It's being shipped from overseas in this direction. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'm totally open to it. I have presented some audition videos to the WWE, and hopefully that might work out. I would like to be the first manager sent to developmental for that purpose.
Huh. Man, that would be fantastic, dude. And we hope you get that opportunity. We're definitely going to support you along the way. And you can follow Scotty on Twitter at ScottyCampbell1. And any final comments you have for, like, the wrestling fans out there, man? Anything else you want to get off your chest?
Well, first of all, I'd love them to join me on Twitter. I'm very responsive, and I love the discussions. Any input, suggestions, criticisms, I love to hear those things. But I just went out there and had fun. I thank you guys and I thank the fans for being members of the WWE Universe. And I just want to say real quick, I've learned so much over the years from people like Jim Ross and Jim Cornette. I grew up in Jim Cornette's territory up in Northeast Tennessee when he had Smoky Mountain Wrestling in that area. And it's been a lot of fun for a long time. Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, the Honky Tonk Man, so many people I have seen at legend shows and things and watched in the 80s on tape. And, you know, a lot of memories, a lot of good times. And that minute and a half on Raw was not some spur-of-the-moment thing, even though perhaps it might have looked like it. But, you know, it was a long time coming. And I took a non-traditional approach to get there. But once you've been in Gorilla, once you've had the chance to walk down that aisle, I think anybody that's ever done that would love to do that again. And I'm reaching out to the WWE, and hopefully they'll meet me halfway on that one of these days.
Man, I hope so, too. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, Scotty. We appreciate it. And feel free to call in whenever you want and just bullshit with us. Usually we have a pretty free-flowing type of conversation here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time, man.
All right, Will and Jay and the Powerhouse, thank you so much. You guys take care.
Hey, thanks a lot, brother. All right, that was Scotty Campbell, who appeared on Monday Night Raw back in June. We'd like to thank Scotty for making that generous donation in the Superstars for Sandy auction over WrestleMania weekend. Especially you and I, Will, we were affected by that storm. Everybody in this area, whether you were hit hard or hit soft or whatever, we lived through that crazy nonsense almost a year ago, And, you know, we'd like to thank Scotty. And that was a cool interview. I appreciate him calling in and giving us some insight on the backstage happenings in WWE.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty awesome that he, you know, some of the good stories that he shared with that. You know, it tells you how much goes into the product. And it's amazing that Vincent, you know, a CEO of a company, is right there in the smack middle of everything. You know, it's just, that's the kind of guy that he is, you know. As much
yeah,
heat
no
as he gets, especially from Toph, you know, at least he's there. You know, he's not sitting home collecting
yeah.
the money.
No doubt. No doubt about that. But, Will, it's time to update everybody on the awesome, extraordinary results of the first entire week, week one in the books, starting week two last night, of the PWP All-Stars Fantasy Wrestling League. Will, give us the scores, give us the updates, give us what has transpired, who is winning, who is losing, and, you know, tell us everything about it.
Well, right now, no one's winning and losing. It's simply people have more points than others. Remember, that could all change at one point. So, if you use the hashtag PWP All-Stars, you will see the results after every week. I will post them at the end of the week. But I am pleased to report that Reverend TLD is right now has 8 points in second place. In third place is John JCD. He has 7 points. And last place is Toph with 3 points. That's it.
Who's in first place, Will? Who's in first?
Well, I am sad to report by Lord Jesus himself that Jay has 12 points, and this is only because of the stupid wild card pick. Fucking Cody
Rhodes. No, because even if the wild card was second, I'd be winning anyway.
You would be by 1 point right now. If technically, if you're, but that was a smart move. You were the only guy that picked a wild card WWE guy. You know, so that was the smartness of you picking Cody Rhodes, because he's the one that's giving you a lot of the points, actually, anyway. So, but it's pretty close. I mean, yeah, I mean, we're falling a little behind here, 4 points, but you know what? We still have not had a pay-per-view yet. That could make a huge difference in the system, because if you don't remember, everything's doubled, and if they make the pay-per-view, they get 2 points, and if they main event, they get 5. So
well,
things could change.
I think, Toph, you have more than 3 points, correct?
No.
Toph, you there?
No,
he said I had 3 points, right?
I think you have more than that, because
I don't.
Daniel Bryan last night had 3 wins. In that. He had 3 wins. Or is that considered one match?
That's a gauntlet match. It's one match.
Okay, one match. And Daniel Bryan had a win on SmackDown. Correct.
Right.
And Gail Kim had a win. Gail Kim had a win on Impact, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those are your three.
And Daniel's lost his street fight. Right.
That's right. Okay.
Right. So he's got
all
three.
Right. I'm just making sure. I'm just
yeah,
you know
man,
what I'm
I
waiting
got,
for.
Yo man, I got this shit.
I'm just waiting for what I'm waiting for is Ryback to start wrestling again and start trampling over everybody.
The back.
Yeah. Let's talk about this Ryback stuff, man. This is kind of weird. Let's talk about this Goldberg stuff, Jay.
Okay, this is another rumor, and we'll kind of like club this in with our news portion of the show. It was reported by, I don't even know who reported this. I left the dirt sheet site a little bit ago. I'll go back to it. But it was reported by somebody on the internet that Goldberg was talked to appear at WWE WrestleMania 30 in a match against Ryback. Essentially, Goldberg would be taking the place of The Rock, who currently is not scheduled to compete at that pay-per-view. The fact of the matter is, though, Goldberg was at this Legends of Wrestling type of deal at the Florida Marlins baseball they did. And Scott Fishman of the Miami Herald, he's a great writer. He writes for JBL's Layfield Report, and he's just a good wrestling writer and sports writer. But he interviewed Goldberg, and he straight up asked Goldberg if those rumors were true, and Goldberg said he has no interest in wrestling Ryback at all.
I believe that 100%.
Yeah, but he didn't say it wasn't a possibility to make this return. Currently, there isn't any talk between him and WWE to be at WrestleMania 30, but he'd want to face either The Undertaker or Stone Cold Steve Austin if he returned. And if they did it at WrestleMania 30, I think those would be two gigantic matches no matter what. But the fact of the matter is, Goldberg, the whole reason this is coming up is because Goldberg said a few months ago, and this came right out of Goldberg's mouth, I remember hearing it, that he wanted to wrestle because now his son is old enough to kind of understand professional wrestling, and he watches his old matches and marks out for him and stuff, and loves watching his dad compete on the old videos. WWE has him in the video game. He is a guy that signed like a 2K Sports deal who's in the video game. They have him, a DVD is coming out of him, a Blu-ray, in a couple months, and he wants to wrestle in front of his son live and in person, and if he has the opportunity to do it in a WWE ring, that's where it's going to happen.
Yeah, kind of add more talking about Goldberg.
I could never, ever see those two ever agreeing to it.
Well, putting Taker aside, to kind of add more into Goldberg, there's a lot of people on the roster currently that actually look up to Goldberg. If you go on WWE's official YouTube account, there's this really cool video that shows how Biggie Langston trains. I posted on the page once. He commented on it. And Biggie Langston, he said that one of his biggest inspirations was Goldberg. He loved Goldberg's character. He loved how he, you know, left the locker room and walked to the ring, and how he was surrounded by cops, and, you know, how when the powers went off, Goldberg just kind of went crazy. Biggie Langston, you know, he loved it. And if you pay attention to Biggie Langston's mannerisms, it's very similar to Goldberg. Caitlin, who also uses the spear, said that her favorite wrestler growing up was also Goldberg. Roman Reigns, the member of the Shield who uses the spear in a lot of his matches, he also said that he loved Goldberg for the same reasons that Biggie Langston also explained. And if you go on YouTube, there's a video that was done not that long ago. I'd say somewhere around like about 07, 08, where Goldberg was, they asked him why he stopped wrestling. And Goldberg pretty much stopped wrestling for the reasons that Jay just said. Goldberg said that he wasn't really a fan of the direction of the product. Apparently, Goldberg, he likes the PG, believe it or not. And he said that, you know, he wanted to work an environment that he felt that his son could feel proud of. But now that he's kind of reached that age, you know, this would be a good time for him to come back. Maybe he'll get a Rumble cameo. You never know.
Well,
yeah, it's always
actually
a possibility.
I want to show you something. Actually, I looked on WWE.com. They actually are showing Goldberg's spear featured on the main page. So I would think that, you know, on top of that, they're showing that now. So there's a, you know, WWE's been very smart the last few years to kind of show a lot of the internet things that go on. They try to have like their own like little internet thing where they want to show the news, what's going around. And you would think that with Goldberg not being in the WWE right now, you know, why would they even show this article? But because they have a DVD, because that was, it made some good news, you know, there's always that possibility. I just don't see like The Undertaker or Stone Cold agreeing to a match like that. I think you need Goldberg to fight someone younger, like facing the whole Shield. That would, I would love to see a lot.
Well, you know, right now we have, you know, right now what they're doing with Ryback is very unusual. You know, he was on that losing streak. Just not even go there. But once he kind of finished his feud with Jericho, they're giving Ryback this Bully Ray-ish, which really what it is. I try not to compare it to TNA, but it's essentially what Bully Ray was doing when he kind of, as soon as Team 3D broke up, you know, Bully kind of changed his name to Bully Ray, and he became a bully, you know, where Bully Ray would bully JB and the X Division guys, but Ryback, he's just going backstage, and he's just kind of being a bully to these backstage guys. I'm assuming they're indie workers, or who knows, but this is, obviously it's going to lead somewhere. You know, we've seen this before in wrestling, you know, where he's going to bully someone and again and again and again, and eventually someone's going to stand up to him. I mean, WWE, they can go many ways with it. I mean, they could have Ryback bully, you know, an NXT dude, you know, a rising up-and-coming guy, and Ryback can bully him, and it could lead to a series of matches where eventually, you know, say, for example, say Chris Hero is just some random guy backstage, Ryback bullies him. This leads to a match, and, you know, Chris Hero just gives a random upset victory. It could be similar to a 1-2-3 kid. Razor Ramon, or they could go the usual route where, you know, someone currently on the roster stands up to him. The problem with that is so many of the baby faces are occupied. You know, Brian's doing this thing with Orton, and, you know, Punk, he's doing this thing with Heyman, and Cena, he's kind of injured for a while, and Sheamus, I think Sheamus would have been a good candidate, but he's injured too, so, you know, someone's got to stand up to Ryback, but I don't see who could do it. I could easily see them bring in Goldberg, but I'm kind of with Will. I would actually like to see Goldberg fight against the Shield in a 3-on-1 match. If anyone could believably beat the Shield 3-on-1, it's Goldberg. He could do it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool that you brought up the Goldberg Bully Ray thing, and it was funny because I tweeted, like, the night after SummerSlam, I tweeted something about Bully Rye, and Scott Hall actually retweeted it, and then, like, a bunch of other marks retweeted that and stuff, and it was pretty funny. But, it's similar to what Bully Ray, even Bully Ray tweeted. He goes, who's telling me about some kind of imposter on the other show, you know? So he was kind of going into it, too, a little bit. But not only that, but the character works with what WWE is doing now. You have a heel who everybody was dissing when he turned heel. Everybody was shitting all over it. So you kind of need to reinvent this heel. Everybody hated it. It really wasn't working. He had the feud with Cena. We knew, we talked about it on the show, that he was going to get repackaged in some way, shape, or form. And he did. He's still Ryback, but they gave him a little bit of a character change. He's the anti-Be a Star guy. That's all it is. They got the Be a Star program, which is anti-bullying, as it is. It says, don't be a bully, be a star. And he is the anti that. So I think that is kind of where they're going with it. And eventually, yes, somebody will stand up to him. But I like it better that they're taking their time. And I'm sure he'll get a bunch of wins to add to my total before he does lose any kind of match, any kind of hero. But at this moment in time, I got to switch gears. And I got to talk about the WWE Divas. And I'm going to kind of do a little bit of a get this off my chest type deal right now. Because,
here we go.
Yeah, because
barrel
for like,
time? Barrel time?
Yeah, just about. I've been thinking about this for a long time. We talked about the Divas in the past and women's wrestling in general. And there are so many fans out there, wrestling fans, who for some reason are just so protective of female professional wrestling. Don't get me wrong. I don't mind watching Sarah Del Rey versus Daisy Hayes in Ring of Honor about
who?
5 years ago. Exactly who. I don't mind those matches. Those matches, they were good. You know, Awesome Kong, Gail Kim, those were good. There are certain WWE female wrestlers that can wrestle great matches and have extravagant matches, and I guarantee you that every single one of them is capable of doing that. It's just not necessarily needed. And WWE does the right thing by not overexposing these divas and not giving us multiple diva segments within a show and not giving us the same type of crap over and over again. They try to switch it up a little bit. They gave them their own reality show, which is a huge step in the right direction. The divas right now are more of a focus than they've been in a long time. But I got to say, WWE is apprehensive to push women in a competitive wrestling position for a very strong reason, and this is why. If you look back in time, you look at the divas that they've pushed over the years. Let's start with Trish Stratus. Trish Stratus started out in around 1999. She debuted on Raw. You know, she wrestled for a good 10 years in WWE. But guess what? She eventually, still as a young woman, just wanted to go home and get married and have kids and kind of wind down her career, which is totally fine, totally respectable. Guess what? Another woman they pushed, Lita. She did the same exact thing. Before those two women, you had Sable. She was the biggest WWE diva at the time. She was, I'd go as far as saying she was the original WWE diva. Her and Sonny, I'd say, kind of take both of that. But Sable was featured on the show for a good year, maybe 2 years, probably, from 1997 to 1999. And she was huge. Her Playboy was selling millions of copies. She was smoking hot at the time. Everybody loved her. They turned her heel. She was hot as a heel. And what happened? She left. She came back a couple years later, but it wasn't the same. The WWE invested so much money into the Sable character, and then she left. They invested money into Trish Stratus. Then she left. Lita, then she left. Beth Phoenix, another one. Great in the ring, really competitive. But what happened? She fell in love with Edge after breaking up with CM Punk. She went home, and she's gone. She was, like, amazing. Everybody loves her in the ring. She's a great wrestler. And her and Natalya Neidhart, they were tearing it up with the Dominus Diva thing. That's something that a lot of people don't remember. That was a great little run they had, and it was great for the Divas division at the time when Natty and Beth Phoenix were killing it. You know, and she left. She's another one. She took her ball. She went home. Look just recently, Eve Torres. WWE invested a lot of money in her. She was doing all the media appearances. She was all over the place, the Divas champion. Guess what? She left. I can go back to say the Bella Twins or another two.
Yep.
WWE invested a lot of money in the Bella Twins. They eventually came back, so they started blowing Cena and Bryan, respectively. But they fucking left. These women leave.
I'm curious.
I'm sorry, what?
What about China? What was their deal?
I was just going to bring it full circle. China's another one. You gotta remember, China was kind of a little bit of a different situation because she had personal issues with the whole Triple H and Stephanie McMahon thing, because she was in a relationship with Triple H when she came into WWE until and through the beginning of the McMahon-Helmsley storyline, when Triple H married Stephanie and, you know, drugged her and married her and everything, and they started that whole angle, and then she turned on Vince. They were still together. They were still a couple. But Stephanie McMahon, according to China, I haven't heard Stephanie really talk about it, but according to China, she ruined their relationship. And China was able to stay on board. It was good business for her to be around WWE for a couple more years. But the politics of it all, probably, you know, women are very sensitive. There's no question about it. We can all agree there. You know that China was probably hurting inside, because of what happened with Triple H, you know, probably the love of her life, in love with him for years. And then all of a sudden, you know, this new woman comes in who's the boss's daughter, you know, give me a break, man. So China, it just didn't work out there with her. And we all know what kind of downward spiral she took. Now she's actually, from what I understand, she's doing a lot better now. She stopped doing porn and stuff. And she's like teaching Chinese kids English or something in China, something like that, which is pretty cool. You know, China being the country, no pun intended there. But going back to what I was talking about, you look at other divas. You look at someone like Maria Kanellis, who we had on the show, and I think is so sweet in person. I met her one time, and she was great as a guest here. But if anybody is keen to what she's saying on Twitter about the Bellas and about Total Divas, holy shit, Maria, please, like, give me a break. You left WWE on your own accord. You decided you wanted to go do music and be on The Apprentice and whatnot. You decide. That was your call. They would have re-signed you in a heartbeat, but you wanted to pursue other options, and that's cool. But then you try to get back this year, and guess what? It ain't going to happen, because the Bella Twins, and they were going to bring Maria back. I don't know if you guys know this, but WWE's plan was to bring Maria back to be on Total Divas. They were going to bring her back, and they were going to bring in Mike Bennett in developmental, and that was going to be one of the relationships that was featured on the show. Guess what? It didn't happen because WWE's smart. They realized, hey, the Bella Twins are banging Cena and Bryan. Why not bring them back and feature John Cena and Daniel Bryan, two of your biggest stars? It's marketing. It's business. It makes sense. Another girl, I'll give you another one right now, Kelly Kelly. How much money did they invest in Kelly Kelly as being the face of the Divas division? Now, you could knock her wrestling skills all you want, but you cannot deny the fact that she got better each and every time she went out there. She worked her ass off to get better, and you could look at the shoot interview that Finley did recently where he says that she was easily the most improved diva over her tenure in WWE. Now, the rumor circulated that the reason she left is because she gave a little blowy to John Cena before Cena started his whole deal with Nikki Bella and before he got divorced from his wife. So that is one of the reasons why she left WWE and is not returning. But get this. She's another girl, like Maria, that they were planning on bringing back for Total Divas. And what happened? The Bella Twins stopped that from happening as well. Whether it was up to them or not, it was just the way WWE went. It was the direction they went in. But to bring this all kind of into a big perspective here, is that if you want to see catch as catch can women professional wrestling, you better get your ass up off the couch and go to your local women's promotion. Right now, you're not really going to see it in TNA because they literally have four knockouts that wrestle. They got Gail Kim, they got Mickey James, they got Velvet Sky, and they got ODB. Who else do they have? They got Testmacher, but all she is Bully Ray's slam piece now. She's not really going to be wrestling. I doubt it anyway. And they're not doing anything with their knockout division. WWE, they're doing more with their Divas division right now than they have been in years. And AJ Lee, as much as I know, Toe, if you're not a big fan, I don't really know what you think about her, Will, but she has been a fucking groundbreaking WWE diva. She has the unique look. She's small. She's got a great body. She's got a pretty face, and she looks unique. And she cut a promo last night that was awesome. I'm not sure how, you know, what they knew she was going to say or whatnot. People are speculating that maybe she took the ball and ran with it or whatever. But, man, I thought that was the most – that was the best Divas promo by anybody in so long. That wasn't watered down. That wasn't lame. The one exception that I hated about it was the Bella Twins incessantly yelling in the background. That kind of ruined it because – it was just stupid, and JoJo not really knowing what she was doing outside the ring. But I got to say that AJ has become groundbreaking right now in women's wrestling, and I don't think there's any way to really disagree with that. Whether you liked it or you didn't like it, that promo got people talking. It was buzzing on Twitter. It was buzzing on Facebook. It was buzzing all over the place, and that is what you need. So props to AJ Lee, man, for going out there and doing what so many – she spoke the truth, volumes of the truth. She's done what women in wrestling have dreamed of doing. Not only has she made out with all the top superstars, but she was the general manager of the show, Divas champion, all within the matter of like 2 years. She's the most featured diva we've had in a long time. So anybody who wants to see women wrestling holds and just going to – just doing their thing in the ring, you know, suplexes and headlock takeovers and stuff like that, go to Shine or Shimmer or one of those all-women promotions or right here in Jersey, Blow, which PWS does, Bombshell Ladies of Wrestling, Blow. Go to one of those and watch the Amazing Kongs and the Sarah Del – not Sarah Del Rey, she's in WWE now, but watch the Serena Deebs and people like that. You know, they're still out there. They're still taking bookings. They're still wrestling all over the place. But you're not going to see it in WWE because WWE is smart enough to know what women, especially now, they have been scorned by so many of these women in the past. And even you look at somebody like Melina. She was in WWE. She was a Divas champion, the women's champion. She had a great run. And what happened? She freaking got what happened with her? John Morrison stood up for her, and she was being a pain in the ass backstage. And they got rid of her. There are so many women that just come and go. The fact of the matter is their shelf life isn't as long in the wrestling business, and some of them just aren't cut out for it. So that's pretty much the end of my rant. Will, feel free to, you know, reply.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I haven't looked at the pipe bomb yet on AJ Lee. I'm actually was kind of in the middle of it while you were going on there, just because I wasn't able to watch everything of Raw, you know. But my thing on women's wrestling, and this is something that when I've done independently, the promoter that I work with, the guy Ryan, who was on our show, is very anti-women's wrestling. It's only because it's one, they don't have the dedication to do it full-time or do it as a career. You know, there were a very few bunch of women that could do it, but not every woman could do it. This is a very tough area for women to kind of stride in, and there are a few that have, but there's not going to be many. You know, I always say that any person that wants to get into professional wrestling and wants to make it a full career and make money of it, I would say 5% of all professional wrestlers actually make a money out of it. Women, I would even go like 2%, maybe 1%, just because it's so difficult for them to, you know, get over the way they did. I would say, you know, Chyna was one of those unique people that had, you know, the ability to work with men and women only because of her size. But and was able to entertain us, and even I would go as far as Karma was a possible second person, you know, to interact with men and possibly, you know, get in the ring with them, you know. But and that would be very, I would say that was a very marketable idea to get a woman involved with a man fighting each other and the women beating them, especially how Chyna beat, you know, and became Intercontinental Champion, beat Jeff Jarrett. That was actually a pretty cool moment. I'll always remember that moment when she won it. You know, and then the one moment that I always remember is also Lita versus Stephanie McMahon for the women's title of the main event of Monday Night Raw. When was the last time you saw that, Jay?
Well, it's been a while, but AJ wasn't involved in so many main events throughout the years that throughout the last couple years.
I'm talking about a women's match headlining a Monday Night Raw.
Well, that happens all the time in TNA, but you won't see that in WWE, right?
It does happen. It doesn't happen all the time. It happened like once in the past.
Four times in TNA, actually.
Happened four times.
Yeah, TNA,
okay.
I could see that. Yeah, TNA, I do agree with that. TNA has done that in the past, you know, but I'm talking from what people will remember. I mean, that's happened, but it doesn't happen often enough where people are invested into it. Because I'll always remember that when Lita finally beat Stephanie, because Stephanie never defended her belt. And the one time she defended it, she lost against Lita, which was a tremendous match. I always will remember it just because of everything that's going on at the time. You know, it's a totally different time now with TNA, and I just don't recall even what the matches were. But my point I'm trying to get to is that only a very selective few women can get into this industry and make a living out of it. You know, hopefully that they have other projects on the side that they can do and they can work, you know, do with. You know, I mean, Maria Kanellis is a good example. You know, she does a lot of side projects, and, you know, she got back into wrestling because of her, you know, now her fiance. But, you know, I really hope women's wrestling can get back to in the groove with it. I do like the Total Divas show. I don't care if it's scripted or not. Everything in television is scripted. I don't care what it is that you watch. Everything is scripted in one way or another. You know, professional wrestling is scripted. I don't know if you know this, but yes. So you think Total Divas was going to be 100% real? No. You know, I'm in the TV and film industry, okay? There is no way any show in the world is not scripted. If they're going to tell me to act a certain way, even though I may act that way, but they're going to tell me, oh, turn it off 100%, well, then that's scripting. I'm being told to do something not of my normal self, you know? So that's what it is. Whether it's their Nikki Bella's, you know, father getting involved, or Natalya and, you know, her fiance who's not wrestling right now, it's all scripted. But you know what? Total Divas is actually kind of fun because now you're getting to see the backstage things of what probably really goes on somewhat back there, what they're doing and how they're living their everyday life. I would love to see WWE do that with the guy wrestlers and see that, you know, but the Divas are marketable and they're attractive. And not to mention that Natty Neidhart, by the way, I bet you the only reason why she's even doing this is because now she gets the exposure that all the internet fans have been wanting for years. Do you think she honestly would get any of this attention if it wasn't for the show? Absolutely not. And that's a shame to say because she is the only person that really knows how to wrestle. She's doing it because she wants to finally do something, and that's why she's doing the show.
Well, let me tell you, they all know how to – like, the Bellas, they know how to wrestle. Eva Marie and JoJo are learning how to wrestle. That's what NXT is for. They're teaching these women how to wrestle. And as you saw with Cameron and Naomi in the NXT, if you watch the show, they were at the NXT training center, you know, going over the routine and taking bumps and stuff throughout the weeks. And that's the thing. It's all a process. They're putting these investments into the girls right now and hoping that they get years out of them, but they have to be careful because a lot of these girls are going to leave to go have babies, which I'm not knocking that. That's fine. But the shelf life for WWE Diva just naturally isn't as long as the superstars. It just isn't. And go ahead. You got to chime in?
I'm not going to rant as much as you guys do because I really don't have a passion for divas, as they call it, in WWEF. I liked the old days of Sensational Sherry and Sunny and Miss Elizabeth and Sable. I liked the old days, not necessarily because they were female valets, because back then, you know, the female talents would interact not just with the other female talents, but they would interact with the men, you know, both in promos and, you know, and physical matches as well. And during the dying days, you know, around the time when Lita and Trish were on the way out and Mickey James was champion, you know, right around WrestleMania 22, because as far as I'm concerned, WrestleMania 22, that was the last Divas feud that mattered because they actually had a women's title match that fans were invested in at WrestleMania. And really, ever since then, every year at WrestleMania, the Divas title is just, it's either not defended, it's a footnote, or it's not there at all. Somewhere along the way, you know, you made a lot of good points in your rant, Jay. Because the Divas' shelf life is not as long, I think somewhere along the way, WWE decided that they were not going to put their full effort into the Divas division anymore. A lot of people were saying that AJ's promo is the best Divas promo in years, but I can't say that because, to be fair, it's the first Divas promo I can recall in years because they don't even give them chances to do anything. Every time the Divas come out there, they give 2-3 minutes tops. That was really the first lengthy Diva promo I can recall in a long time. I mean, that's like saying that AJ Lee's promo is the best in years. That's like saying that's the first A student when you've dealt with years and years of C students. Of course, that one A student is going to stand out. I mean, the last person I can even think of is Michelle McCool because she was dating Taker and she had the political power to say whatever it was that she wanted. And pretty much every other Divas champion, face or heel, will just get 2-3 minutes tops. You know, I felt that AJ's promo was very hypocritical because she was acting as if she got over by herself, which isn't the case because she got over basically being paired with different male talents on screen. Bryan first, then Kane, then Punk, then Cena, then Ziggler. All those guys collectively combined with being GM got her over. It's not like she single-handedly got over by herself like, say, Trish Stratus or Alita or Gail Kim or Mickie James. But, you know, I think the Total Divas show, even though I don't watch it, I mean, that's great. You know, it's great to see what's going on backstage. It's great to see how people are, you know, behind the scenes. Personally, it's not my cup of tea because I don't see an end game for it. Every reality show has to have an end game. A show like that has no end game. It's just going to keep going and going and going. It'll have multiple seasons. They'll put different divas on there, but there's no end game. It's not going to lead to anything. It's not going to lead to any of them getting a push. It's just exposure. It's just the show's just there for them to get TV time because they're not going to get any on TV. And here I am. I'm just waiting. I really want to get on this Divas bandwagon, but until they have, like, a Divas match at WrestleMania that actually means something, then and only then can I really get on this bandwagon. And the funny thing was they could have done it this year because they were in New Jersey, and that's where AJ's from. So they could have easily done it, but they chose not to. And they just put her in some footnote tag team match or whatever. So, yeah, there you go.
Well, yeah, you made some good, valid points there. I mean, AJ has been lucky to have a lot of microphone time over the past few months. So she's been able to cut a couple promos here and there, especially with her psycho gimmick and stuff. And before that, Eve Torres was kind of on TV a lot. She was involved with Cena and Zack Ryder and stuff like that. So there usually is. If you go back and just trace the WWE timeline back, there's always a WWE diva that is the focal point in some way, shape, or form, whether it's for 2 minutes on the show or for 10 minutes on the show. There's always a diva that's involved in some way, shape, or form. Regarding WrestleMania, you got to remember, like, they had it planned this year. They were going to have the Bellas and the Funkadactyls involved in that mixed tag match and stuff, but that got cut, sadly. But, you know, they always try to feature the divas on every pay-per-view, every show, no matter what it is. They try to get something in for them, and that's good because there is a niche out there for it, but don't expect to see these 20-minute wrestling classics. Like, when you mentioned the Diva main event or the Knockouts main events, I do remember the one between Awesome Kong and Gail Kim years ago that was really, really good. And that's another one, Gail Kim. Like, she was happy to leave WWE the second time around because she's just one of the wrestlers that's very, very talented that kind of just got lost in the shuffle. And that's sad to say that happens sometimes. But
yeah, they wouldn't. The divas that were good, you know, I agree that AJ Lee has talent, but there's a lot of divas, like you said, like Gail Kim being one of them. There's many female talents that were not given the opportunity to, you know, perform at that level. So, like I said, I will acknowledge the fact that AJ Lee is talented, but I'm not going to just join this bandwagon and say she's the most captivating diva ever. If anything, for me, she's really just like the first diva to get this platform and to get this opportunity to really do these things, because they've had females before that could be doing exactly what she's doing now, but for whatever reason, WWE was like, no, you're not going to do it. So
yes, she's definitely not the first to get this platform, but she's the most recent. And let me tell you what, that promo last night had some buzz going. And Will, you just watched the promo, huh? Will the Thrill, you there?
Yeah, I am there. I'm sorry, I put myself on mute. You know, she's right on the point of pretty much everything she pretty much said. So I'm pretty happy. I'm very happy. I don't know what this is going to do, though, for where the ending of the line is going to be for this. Why she cut that promo. We obviously will have to tune in the next week to see what their reactions are. I do agree that Bellas are, they were very annoying. They shouldn't even have a microphone on them. You know, you could see in the ring Natalya kind of like stepping forward, kind of like being like the women of these Total Divas, because she's the one that could probably legitimately kick AJ's, ass pretty much. You know, so I don't know who's going to be the heel or the face. I think Natalya and AJ Lee, especially with the way she just mentioned the Total Divas, I think that actually has some story to it. I think I would believe that if Natalya stood up for all the girls back there, you know, she cut her own promo about how she's helping these girls become, you know, wrestlers. I would love to see an AJ Lee and Natalya match. I think that'd be really great for Night of Champions.
Let's hope for it.
Go ahead, Toph.
I was just saying, let's hope for it. And, you know, with Total Divas, the new show, you know, hopefully it does well. I'm sure it'll get renewed for, you know, season 2 and 3 and stuff. So with this Total Divas show and, you know, them giving the Divas some buzz, as far as I'm concerned, they have no excuse for WrestleMania next year. There is no reason why there is not a Divas title match on
the
card.
Yeah, I'm sure they will do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even if there's not a Divas title match, they try to get them involved. Like a couple of years ago, they did the tag match with Maria Menounos, which obviously was a publicity type of deal. And there's nothing wrong with that. Maria Menounos is actually a huge wrestling fan, legitimately, and is very educated on the sport. So she loves it and stuff. But, they try to
and
get
them
involved. And she's Greek, and she's pretty hot, too.
Yeah,
and
right.
I think at a Total Divas, you got to remember, Total Divas is pulling in possibly a different audience. I mean, I know for a fact that my girlfriend likes Total Divas, but she will not watch Raw worth a goddamn. And that's just the reality of it. And, you know, she's interested in some of these characters. So we'll see how it goes. But there's 90 seconds left in the show, guys. So final thoughts from my man, Will. Final thoughts tonight.
Nothing, but make sure you, if you want to contact me at TLD Wrestling, you can ask me. I am a reverend. I will marry you. I will do baptisms for babies. Please contact me, Reverend TLD.
Okay, selfless promotion from Will. Toph, final thoughts on the show.
All my brother testify in a really monotone, stoic voice. Thank you, Devon.
Thank you, Citizen Toph.
All right, next week, ladies and gentlemen, is our 50th episode of the show.
Oh.
I'm trying to book a very big special guest. So we'll see what happens.
I'll be
honest. A couple drop out, a couple maybe not come through, but we'll see who I can get, who I can pull off for episode number 50. If you have not listened to our interview with Lex Luger that took place last week, please go to blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio and listen to that now. For TLD, for Toph, and for Scotty Campbell, thanks for calling in and donating to Hurricane Sandy. This is Jay signing off PWP Radio, episode number 49. Keep it real, brother.